So,
what's trending?
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
I have incredible news for you. If you have not heard yet, we've been fundraising all week long. We've had a need of $2.7 million to continue to keep Relevant Radio operating over the next couple of months. And we reached our goal thanks to you. So if you donated, if you prayed, if you've done what you could to support us here at Relevant Radio to continue to bring Christ through the media to you and others, thank you for joining us. And it's not too late. The pledge drive may be over, but we still have a donor who's offered till the end of the day today. Till the end of this show, in fact, you have the opportunity, along with others, to have your money matched dollar for dollar. If you still want to support Relevant Radio, we may have a need of $2.7 million that was met. However, we have so many other needs, and needs that will allow us to continue to grow if you support Relevant Radio today. So it's not too late. Please head over to relevantradio.com, where you can donate now, or use that Relevant Radio app. If you haven't downloaded it yet, it's one of those tools we have available for you to keep in your back pocket to carry Trending with Timory, the Keel Clark Show, and all the other shows with you on demand along with live radio. So again, thank you for supporting us. Share the good news. We hit our goal, but it's not too late to donate. I'd like to ask you to pray with me for a special intention for a little boy named Jordan who is battling cancer. Actually, a little baby, in fact, and now has an infection, is in the hospital, the infection's in his bloodstream. So please join me for praying for Jordan and a special intention. We're going to kick off this hour praying for an end to abortion in the United States and in thanksgiving for our needs to be met for this pledge drive here at Relevant Radio. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. It is great to be with you. We have a guest coming with us in just a little bit, Dr. Susan Caldwell, and she is a fertility specialist. Fertility, infertility, contraception, you name it. If you have a question in any of those areas, and we're talking both male and female fertility, go ahead and give us a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149, or you can head over to social media. Follow me. Find my handles by heading over to relevantradio.com/trending to connect and ask your question during the show. We put up the opportunity for you to ask questions both on Twitter, Facebook, and the Instagram, my favorite, of course. If you haven't seen a photo of my little baby girl, she's up there on my Instagram along with her little cousin, and I'll be sure to post more photos as we go. You've got to get that baby quota in for the day to just make you really happy. All those smiles. So I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about how they really struggle just to make it to church weekend, how they feel guilty, and how they met someone else recently who was also Catholic, and how it was almost this kind of touchstone for the other person, it seemed like. But I said, oh, you're Catholic. And they start to ask, well, do you go to church? And, you know, there's that kind of Catholic guilt that will kick in for a lot of people who were baptized Catholic, but who have fallen away from the faith. And yet they still proclaim their Catholic faith when asked or pressed. And it made me think about a homily I heard yesterday where the priest was discussing how many people today are, quote, law-abiding Catholics. Also known as, I go to church on Sundays and I feel bad for not going when I don't go, but that's kind of the extent of my faith. Now, we saw that when COVID hit, many people who were Sunday-only Catholics started to realize, I want more. There's not really much else other than showing up on Sundays to my faith. Others realized, you know, I was really only going to church on Sundays, and I'm kind of okay not going. And so we found ourselves in a really unique place in this nation. We also have a president who is Catholic, President Joe Biden. We'll get to that in just a moment, but here's the question I want you to really ask yourself. Are you a legalistic Catholic? Where you kind of tap that checkbox of, okay, I went to Mass on Sunday, and it could even be that you go to Mass daily. But it's a nice pat on the back, like, hey, I made it. And you're not necessarily being transformed by the motion you're going through. It's just a motion. It's a habit of function, but not of transformation. Some people even talk about how, although they feel bad for not going, there's still something missing. It's more so just a guilt of not going, maybe even a fear of not going, rather than loving our Lord and wanting to be with Him, wanting to go to church. And so we really kind of see this legalistic attitude with regard to church rather than a transformative attitude. Now, it's interesting, we'll talk about this a little bit more, about how we're hungry for organized religion, whether you're Catholic or not. And it's, I think, really interesting what's happened with COVID. People are kind of getting in line for a new way of living, which shows we really do like order in our lives. But what order are we ultimately looking for? Now, people have said, for example, that Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, isn't Catholic. Or maybe you know somebody, you say, oh yeah, they're Catholic, but, and you start to go down this, you know, list of things that they aren't doing right. Or maybe you say, I'm a bad Catholic. Have you ever said that? I'm a bad Catholic. I've done X, Y, and Z wrong. I've showed up to Mass 20 minutes late. I haven't gone to confession in years. You know, maybe you said this or you feel that way and you're not quite sure why. It might be because of this legalistic approach. Again, we're looking for love of the Lord and transformation over a legalistic attitude. Now, I want to remind you that we can be Catholic in name only, and here's why. Because by our baptism, we receive an incredible gift, the forgiveness of our sins. We receive an incredible gift of being an adopted child of God. We become God's children in that baptismal moment. We're renamed. We take a baptismal name. So we can be Catholic by name only. And it's sad because some people will say, well, oh, that's not Catholic. But we actually have to remember that the grace of baptism is real and the sacrament of baptism is real. But that doesn't mean that we get being Catholic right. Isn't that what we're all truly working toward? But then there's something that's happening right now in the culture. And that is where the media, and even ourselves, see someone who's Catholic. It could be Lady Gaga, it could be the president, it could be any politician or friend or teacher in our life. We go, oh, they're Catholic. And we all of a sudden put this stamp of approval on anything and everything they do. And we think, well, if they're doing it, that's okay. You may recall on Roe versus Wade, I talked about how there was specifically a Catholic strategy implemented by Dr. Bernard Nathanson and other people in favor of Roe versus Wade and abortion, permissive abortion laws, who intentionally knew that they had to split the Catholic opinion and Catholic vote on abortion in order to have it be the law of the land and accepted by people individually. So this is happening now. Have you noticed that the mainstream media has continued to call President Biden a, quote, devout Catholic? Why do they care? You know, I find it fascinating because not too long ago, we had Saint Mother Teresa, who was canonized a saint, and the media hated her. They attacked her. She's a saint. This simple woman from Calcutta. And now we have a president who's Catholic, who does not do the things that Mother Teresa does, and yet he's praised for being devout. Does the media even know what a devout Catholic means? So they might find out, hopefully, possibly, with Judge Amy Coney Barrett, who takes her faith into the public square. Because there is such a thing as truth. There is such a thing as order in our lives. And we're going to touch on that in a moment. But there's a real problem when people begin to think that because President Biden is, quote, Catholic, that he will revive Catholicism in the United States. Doesn't matter whether it's President Biden, a school teacher, or even a parent. We can go wrong with our faith. We can go wrong in practicing it. In fact, we're already seeing in just a few weeks of a new term for this president that religious liberties are being undermined for individual Catholics. Our consciences are being violated to fund abortion abroad. We're stepping into the United States Population Fund again, which funds abortion. We're also seeing a dishonesty about what it means to be male and female through the transgender policies that are being implemented, especially the unfairness of sports that is occurring for women when they're now told that biological men can compete against women. We haven't even touched on that yet since I've been back. We will talk about it. Don't you worry. If you have questions, let me know. You can find me at relevantradio.com/trending. Ask your questions now on social media. And you can always download the podcast while they're there. So let's just take a moment to talk about something that's really been on my mind and heart. And it comes back to this whole Catholic by name only type of thing. In fact, before we get there, it was really interesting. A professor of political science at the University of Notre Dame said, quote, "It's not Catholic to be Catholic." And I thought that that was fascinating because this is so true. If you're Catholic, you can't practice what the Catholic Church teaches. That's why the media is so insistent about saying, well, President Biden is a devout Catholic, because he's promoting, unfortunately, abortion. And so they're trying to rewrite what it means to be Catholic, because they want Catholicism and abortion, Catholicism and a pro-LGBTQ mindset to be hand in hand. You know, I'll quote this phrase that you maybe heard before. Church really needs to kind of get up with the times, and this is what woke Catholics do. But they can be Catholic by name, like I said, but that doesn't mean they're practicing what the church teaches. And so this brings me back to COVID, because I think that this is really fascinating. I was talking about this on Christmas. The world is showing essentially that it is starving for organized religion. And here's why. COVID has given people something very special: a uniform way of living, organization, something to conform to have that way of life, and obedience. In fact, we can't beat obedience into a teenager, but all you have to do is bring about a global pandemic, and people are conforming, they're uniform, and they're obedient. Apparently, we have found our organized religion. It is COVID-19. Let's be real. It's fascinating. We can't get anyone, a teenager, to obey house rules. But here we are, so hungry to have guidelines and rules. We're listening with regard to where to eat, how to eat, what to wear, and even who we can associate with and what we put into our bodies. COVID has become God for us. COVID has made us more obedient than a 14-year-old. Than a 3-year-old. Isn't that fascinating? I really think it is. But here's why it makes sense. Because the natural law that God created our bodies for, our society for, is written into our hearts. But we've rebelled and we've lost track of what the natural law is. Why? We've lost sight of God, who created us and who created us for a purpose. And so we're willing to follow the first massive mandate of a type of organized religion, which is COVID, that happens. We're willing to walk that journey, again, of that threefold uniformity, conformity, and obedience. That's not a religion, though, when we live in fear. That is not a religion. That is not what we're looking for. Fear is not of God. And again, I will repeat, that's not what any of us are looking for, whether we have any faith or not. St. Augustine once said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord." For now, the organized religion of COVID may be what keeps us so-called in a type of organized lifestyle. In fact, I know some people who believe COVID is their religion. They're saying that they may live the rest of their lives like this. And when I say that, I mean inside, not really going out. That this has created a new normal for them. We are so hungry for God. We are so hungry for our Catholic faith. For God, who is perfect order, who is perfect mercy and peace and joy. And so I hope that this challenges you when you think about your Catholic faith. Try not to be a legalistic Catholic of checking off that box. But instead, I want to challenge you to think of your Catholic faith as something that transforms every single area of your life. You're listening to Trending with Timri. Dr. Susan Caldwell, a Napro doctor specializing in fertility, infertility, and addressing the impact for women of contraception, is here joining me today. Dr. Caldwell, welcome back to Trending.
Thanks, Timri. It's so good to be here.
You and I were talking before the show, and we really wanted to discuss this trend, and it kind of goes back to what I've been discussing with regard to Catholic in name only, not really kind of getting in line quite yet with what the church is asking of us. And that is when parents actually pressure their daughters, especially moms, when moms pressure their daughters to go on to birth control when they're in high school and college. It's a trend that's very common. Even moms who, you know, don't believe in abortion, don't really think contraception's all that great, but they think that this is the way to somehow keep their daughters protected. But that's a total myth. And I'd love to hear your perspective on this as both a Catholic and a medical doctor treating people with fertility struggles.
Yes. I mean, I see it all the time. It continues to amaze me. But you know, I hate to say it, but I'm really not knowing the culture. It's not surprising, but it still just saddens me. It just causes a lot of grief because it resonates with me. Like, I get it. I get the desire of the parent to want to protect, right? They're little girls. They're precious girls. They want just to do that. But I don't think it's really thought through. So I think it's a good thing to talk about because, I think it's just kind of a knee-jerk reaction where maybe moms don't want their little girl to get pregnant. I think that's the biggest concern. And that is a good desire, right? Not to have a teenage pregnancy, right? You know that probably very well right now. I mean, babies really take everything from you physically, mentally, emotionally. And so most teenagers are just not ready for that kind of responsibility, which means they're not ready for sex.
Right. And that is exactly what needs to be addressed. First, right. I want to touch on that in a moment. But one of the ways that I see many parents, good intentioned parents, kind of slide into wanting their kids to be on birth control because they don't want their kids to be pregnant, is it actually will start with a health reason. Well, their daughter had acne, and so they knew their kid wasn't sexually active. They're taking the birth control to help with the acne or with other health issues that acne can be a band-aid for, but not a cure. And I think that's important to say because you've dealt with so many women who have women's health issues that contraception is actually making worse, and the acne and everything's a sign of. But what happens is they're on it for health and skin reasons, and next thing you know, the parents go, well, maybe this is a good thing. They're seeing their kid go through high school, going into college, or seeing the culture. Maybe it's a good thing for them to have quote-unquote safe sex that prevents them from getting pregnant. But Dr. Caldwell, you've seen this just as I have. Working in the crisis pregnancy centers for years, on the sidewalks in front of the abortion clinics, seeing pregnant women, the vast majority of them are on some type of hormonal birth control, and often even multiple types of birth control.
Yes, yes. So the problem, you know, we don't need to just come up with a better birth control. We need to do a better job parenting, you know, and I think we tend, you know, to just focus on the physical and maybe intellectual aspects of raising our kids, which are really important things. We want them to be good in school, and we want them to grow and be healthy and get on the sports teams and thrive and excel and in beauty and all these things. But yet, what about the spiritual and emotional, you know, parts of, we need to parent there too, right? So these kids emotionally can't handle getting a bad haircut. Okay. So what makes them think, what makes us think that emotionally they can handle sex and the emotions that come from that rejection, the trauma that comes with that. And, you know, Our Lady said at Fatima that, you know, more people, you know, end up apart from God forever in hell because of sins of the flesh, We've got to realize that. Like, that is a huge concern. So we don't operate out of fear, but we do need to understand that we need to give our kids a full education. We send them to driver's ed because we don't want them to get in a wreck. But yet we close our mouths when it comes to sex.
Ooh. Yep. And this is so true. I'll never forget. I was watching one of the newer superhero shows a few years ago, and the family's sitting down at the dinner table, and all of a sudden the daughter starts to bring up sex, and the parents get really awkward, and she starts to ask pointed questions of kind of those questions where your teen asks you, and they're like, well, if you can't answer this question, or if you did it, who are you to tell me that this is wrong? And the parents get really awkward, they avoid the question, they're kind of like, who are we to tell her what she should or shouldn't do? And next thing you know, the dad and mom kind of talk it through, and the mom's very free about it, like, it's fine, let her make her decision, be on contraception. And then next thing you know, the dad shows up at the high school. And he walks up to the boy the girl's dating, and he asks him if he has athlete foot. And the guy says yes. And the dad says, so when you take a shower in the locker room, how do you dry yourself after? And long story short, the kid says that he dries himself from the feet up. And so the dad makes a point of saying, well, do you want to give my daughter athlete's foot? And I was sitting here going, oh my gosh, here's a dad wanting to try to help his kid, but he's more interested in trying to get away with not talking about the topic of sexuality to try and scare and confuse the boy by talking about athlete's foot. Mm. And this is his way of getting around the mom who disagrees and somehow addressing the sex issue. But at the end of the day, what we're really talking about is that young women need to know, as they have resources that aren't hormonal contraception, they have the resources of understanding their self-worth, their purpose for their sexuality, and the great gift of chastity that doesn't say no to intimacy, but yes, within the right context where you're not heartbroken, fearing self-loathing for being active outside of marriage, facing the heartbreak of someone who you've bonded with physically and emotionally, and also not facing the risk of teen pregnancy or even this attitude and trend toward transgenderism and same-sex attraction as a result of this early exposure to sexuality because they're looking for something else that's so-called safe.
Yes. Yes. But you know, these kids, the girls are not hearing that there's another way. They're hearing from their peers that that is just what you do. And if you want to if you don't want to be alone, then you need to trade your body, and you know, you need to give it away so that you can secure some sort of a relationship. And if they don't hear it from anybody else, something more positive, then unfortunately, that's what they're going to do, which is tragic.
Now there, right. Now there are so many young girls, adult women, who have so much regret. I didn't know otherwise. My heart is hurting. My body is hurting from the decisions I've made. Yes. Dr. Caldwell, can you speak a little bit to your own experience and kind of what you would say to your younger self if you had experienced this self-loathing, this frustration over the decisions that you've made, but you want to do otherwise?
Yeah. When I look back just in my own, you know, that was really my own story. You know, I didn't hear anything else other than, well, this is what girls do. If you want to be in a relationship, then you would have sex and so forth. And no one, it's really just sad that when no one says anything else. I remember speaking to a young woman in my clinic one day who was, she had some tragic consequences to her sexual choices, and she herself had been a product of her mom's, you know, a teenage pregnancy. And her mom had just continued to tell her, you know, this, give her this message that it's okay to have sex, but you've got to try to protect yourself. So she had sexually transmitted diseases, and she had all of she felt so bad about herself. And I just shared with her just really quickly, you know, because it's in the context of an office conversation, you know, that she didn't have to have sex. And what she was really looking for was a connection, a lasting friendship, and a healthy, you know, loving relationship with someone. And we just talked about it for a minute, and she just stopped and she looked at me, and it was this beautiful moment. And she said, I've never heard this before. Like almost mm-hmm. like it was, she was starving for these words. And when I look back at my own life, you know, I never heard that before either. And, you know, that's why I'm so passionate. And when a girl comes in to see me and she's talking about having sex and she wants birth control and this or that, you know, I stop and I just listen to her I feel like I must as like in my spiritual maternity in that moment, right? It really, she needs to be mothered in that moment and to be told, you are good. There is nothing that you need to mm-hmm. trade for affirmation. You do not need mm-hmm. to give away your body. I often tell them about, you know, the differences between men and women in how they think about sex. Their bodies really are very, you know, we're very different in how we desire sex. We're looking for different things. And I'd share with them, you know, a man's perspective. And it's really just, you know, God made men very differently, and they're not really craving connection. They're often mm-hmm. craving, right. you know, an outlet for their sexual urges that they haven't yet found out that they could actually control. and so in right. order for us to, you know, love the men in our lives well, you know, it is important for us to just kind of call them to virtue and call them to let them know they do have power over their bodies. But if girls don't know that, then we end up feeding this terrible, you know, we're helping men to be slaves to their passions as opposed to helping train them in virtue.
The next question will come back on this with Dr. Susan Caldwell, as well as answering your fertility questions, is what happens when good girls have the pressure to be, quote, hot and available all the time? Give us a call with your fertility questions or infertility and contraception questions at 1-888-914-9149 or ask them on social media. Find me at Timmeray.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmeray on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Speaking of which, do you use the Relevant Radio app? You can listen to the podcast of Trending with Timmeray there on demand. Share it with a friend. Head over to relevantradio.com/trending to subscribe now and get connected on social media. Let us know what's trending in your life and what you'd like to hear discussed. We're going to discuss in just a moment how fear can really get in the way of women being able to live their lives, whether in high school, into their adult life, you name it, and how there's tremendous pressure on women to perpetually be hot and available in this current culture. Dr. Susan Caldwell, NAPRO doctor, has joined us, but we have a caller from Rice Lake, Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Carol.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking my call, Timmeray. I've been waiting.
What's your question?
Someone from NAPRO Technology. I want to know, how does a person find someone who does NAPRO Technology in their practice?
Oh, this is a great question. There is a whole network of NAPRO doctors who specialize in wholesome fertility care, treating underlying health issues as well. And you don't have to be seeking pregnancy in order to see them. You could be struggling with PCOS, Hashimoto's disease, endometriosis, and need to care for it. So the answer to that is you can head over to fertilitycare.org in order to find a fertility care practitioner and a fertility NAPRO doctor. We'll post a link on social media now. You can also find it in my link tree on Instagram, and it'll be in the show notes for the podcast. But great question, because it's worth traveling the extra miles at times in order to see an incredible NAPRO doctor. They are pros at what they do, treating various things that Dr. Caldwell, you and I have talked about regularly, from NAPRO technology to PCOS and so many other underlying health issues that are impacting women and their fertility. Thanks for calling, Carol. That was a great question. Dr. Caldwell, let's talk a little bit about how so many girls today are told by media, by social media, that they need to be hot and available perpetually. I feel as if this has been a huge thing undermining happiness for women, creating fear that if they're not that, then they're nothing. So, you know, if they're not fitting in, if they're embarrassed because they don't meet that, if they fail, fail to meet others' opinion, they just curl up inside. And I have to say, Dr. Caldwell, even the good girls in good environments are struggling with their sexuality because of this pressure to be hot and available.
Yes. And this is a perpetual problem, peer pressure. You know, it's kind of built into our fallen nature. You know, it can work for the good of us, but it's most of the time works for the bad, you know, where we just feel so pressured to be something we're not and to feel shame at what we actually are. So it takes a lot of parenting. You know, it is one place where a girl can be affirmed on the basis of more than just her body, right? Like we spoke before, the other pillars of her person, your intellectual life, her spiritual life, her emotional life, not just physical. I think we just focus so much on the physical that we forget that we're other. You know, we have so much more to us than just, you know, our bodies. So I wish I had an answer, like a quick, you know, like how to do that. But it is such a struggle. I think a lot of women, you know, even I see women, you know, of all ages, and I see women struggle with this, you know, into later life. Even, you know, women come in and they're, you know, they're sad because, you know, their hair might be getting a little thinner. I mean, just women want to be beautiful. That is the deepest desire in our hearts, is to be beautiful. And that's by God. You know, God put that into us. But we get very confused about what that means. And we just want to cling to that appearance when we know there's so much deeper that needs to be cultivated.
And the importance for women young girls to receive the affirmation of their beauty from others. I'll never forget, one of my nieces was running around a few months ago and people were talking about cutting her hair, and she kept going, no, you can't cut my hair. My daddy thinks my hair is beautiful.
Oh.
And I realized in that moment, Dr. Caldwell, that from a young age, it means so much to a little girl to be cherished and to be beheld in the eyes of her father, earthly father and heavenly father. Yes. But a lot of girls are missing that part, or social media is louder than their earthly father and their heavenly father.
Yes. And to learn the difference, we must teach our girls and boys, absolutely boys too, but the difference between affirmative words and touch versus arousal or sexual words and touch. Because if we get our needs met just by good old affirmation, you know, words of love, especially for women, we need words from our fathers and our brothers that we are good, you know, whatever that looks like. But it must affirm us, as opposed to sarcasm and criticism and these, you know, terrible things that a lot of people experience, so that when a woman goes out into the world and you know, boys look at her with that look of lust, that she won't think that is what she's made for. She will be able to reject that, as she should, not accept that, because she knows that there's another kind of look that is a more loving gaze that she's made for. Yeah.
And boy, can all of us kind of be duped by great advertising. My producer, Karen, just brought up, well, what about the clothing chain, Forever 21? Mothers dressing like their daughters. This obsession, even just in the name, with being what you are not. Whether you're younger, seeking to be older or sexualized, to be hot and available, or older and seeking to look younger, you know, there's this pressure that is so present. And boy, you know, you've commented how fear can really thwart the feminine genius, the great value of women. And so I think the question, whether you're listening or you know someone, in adult or young girl, who's made a mistake in this area, the question is, how do we regain that sense of self, that sense of value that leads us back to chastity, so that we're not putting pressure on young girls to be on contraception, and that they don't feel the pressure that they have to have it as a fail-safe?
Yeah. So, you know, perfect love casts out fear, right? That's what scripture tells us. So I think inevitably what has to happen is we have got to receive the gaze of love from Jesus, which is the gaze of the Father, which is really what we're all craving, is that love. But you know, often shame and fear keeps us from showing up and letting ourselves be loved. So, but that's the cure. That is the answer. But we can be loved through people in, you know, other than Jesus. The other people can communicate that love to us in healthy relationships and healthy families. So when we recognize that there is an unhealthy dynamic in a relationship or in a family of any kind, we need to name it. We don't, should not continue to participate in it as if it's good. We have to bring that to prayer. We have to get help for that, or counseling, or, you know, to someone and just say, hey, I don't feel loved here. You know, I don't feel seen. I don't feel treasured here. We need to because I think a lot of women are in these unhealthy dynamics and don't recognize it as anything. They think, oh, well, this is just how it's supposed to be. And that's what's so beautiful about our church, is that our church stands for the human person and defends the human person till the end. Till the end. That's what Jesus did for us. So we've just got to recognize those dynamics and ask you know, the Lord just to show us, like, someone to love us, and of course himself in prayer. But we're all on a journey. You know, we don't know how to love, and we don't know how to be loved until he shows us and he reveals to us who we are and how precious we are. So it's a journey. Yeah.
If you have a question for Dr. Susan Caldwell, she's a specialist treating fertility, infertility, underlying health causes for women, as well as addressing contraception from a health perspective, you can give us a call now. The number is 1-888-914-9149. You just have a couple more minutes before those phone lines close. And you can also always comment on social media, my Instagram story, Twitter. We put this topic up there, and we love to hear from you. Follow me by heading over to relevantradio.com/trending to connect on social media. Dr. Caldwell, as we continue to talk about this, there's an incredible book that came out a couple years ago by Dr. Carrie Gress called The Anti-Mary Exposed. And she talks a lot about beauty in there. And she talks about the difference between beauty and one where we are allowing it to be this perspective of sexual objectification from others versus beauty that stirs the soul, as she puts it, that pulls us out of ourselves and lifts up the heart and mind to the creator of all things. This definition of beauty really points to how we can either look at beauty in terms of what I am, just a base bunch of parts meant to be out there for other people to view and use, or beauty is a part of who I am. It's the person I am. Yes, partially our bodies physically, but also the virtues that we personify. You know, things such as hospitality. I think hospitality was a part of the mass readings for today. Mm-hmm. How we're supposed to be hospitable and welcoming to others. Being gentle and kind. Even, you know, a sense of boldness and courage in those moments that we should be bold and courageous. That this is the beauty that is personified in women, yet we've been told, you're nothing. You're just a bunch of body parts. You don't matter. And we need to regain beauty as with regard to the definition of who I am.
Amen. Yes. Yes, I totally agree.
I want to play a little audio clip here. It's from Bishop David Ricken of Green Bay. And he actually talks a little bit about fear. Listen to this, Dr. Caldwell.
And so I'm afraid that fear has taken over. And in the name of Jesus and by his most precious blood, I cast out that fear. Fear is the work of the devil. Fear is not the work of Jesus. Fear is the work of the devil. Fear is not the work of Jesus. So in his name and by his most precious blood, I cast out from our faith community and all 16 counties, fear be gone. Fear be gone. Fear be gone. It's time for faith to be restored and for us to claim back the territory which belongs to God.
That is an incredibly powerful moment from Bishop David Ricken of Green Bay, because we, by the power of our baptism in the name of Jesus, can cast out these evil spirits that are overcoming us, because fear is not of God. It's an evil spirit that is trying to thwart our happiness, our joy. And so just as Bishop Strickland, who has incredible authority to cast these spirits out, we too can say, by the power of our baptism,
yes,
I cast out the spirit of fear. I banish it to the foot of the cross. Maybe this is a prayer that we all need to pray more often, especially young women when they're struggling with their sexuality, seeking attention, or feel like they are cornered into sexual circumstances that they think will be the only way they can have friendship or joy or love.
Amen. Yes, yes. I mean, fear has no place, right? Because when we're in fear, our psychology tells us that we're operating from a part of our brain that is disconnected from our cortex, which is how we rationalize things and think through things and weigh whether things are, you know, good or bad. So we need to operate, know that we're operating in fear when we're operating. And I think that's the way that that the enemy of our souls operates, is he hides. And, you know, we don't recognize that we're in fear. So we can't make those decisions, you know, we can't be aware and take action, as St. Ignatius of Loyola recommends in the Discernment of Spirits. We have to know what's happening inside of us before we can act. So awareness is really key there.
That's NAPRO doctor, Dr. Susan Caldwell, specializing in fertility, and she has seen firsthand the broken hearts and the joyful hearts of those who have conceived children in the face of infertility, and those who are struggling through that fertility journey, or just sense of self-worth. We have a caller calling from Las Vegas. Kathleen has a question about helping to teach her daughter truth. Kathleen, welcome to Trending. What's your question?
Yes, thanks for talking with me, Timmarie, and thank you, Dr. Caldwell. I was just turned on the radio, and I heard you saying how you need to stand up and speak the truth, how we have value as women, and for the young women as well. And I'm asking because, for me, I've only more appreciated the past few years. I'm in a not very healthy marriage, and I have 8 daughters, and I'm trying my best to try to teach them their value as humans, as women of faith. And how would you best go about that when the other half of the marriage is not really appreciating them for their feminine gifts, and it's more focused on appearance and criticism and stuff? Other than just saying you're wrong, how can I be a better mother to my daughters?
Wow. Okay. So, you can't give what you don't have. So you definitely want to avail yourself to resources. I would say from maybe Christopher West, The Good News About, Sex and Marriage. And there's a podcast, Ask Christopher West, where they speak of all of these topics. And I will say that, you know, continue to affirm anything in your husband that is positive, because the deepest part of him as a man is he wants to protect and he wants to respect, but he doesn't know how, right? So sometimes that's where the feminine genius can really blossom, when a woman knows her goodness and can operate in that and her gifts. Sometimes it calls a man to be that protector that he always maybe was meant to be, but has been thwarted. But that's a really difficult cross that you're carrying. But the Lord is faithful, and he will see you through it. And Saint Joseph, I mean, it's the year of Saint Joseph, and this is what he specializes in, what you just shared. I mean, that is his heart, you know, is to help you in this journey. Yeah.
Okay.
That was a great response, Dr.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say,
Kathleen, this is a great question.
The criticism doesn't work.
What's
that? Your positive role model is good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen. And this is what the early church calls Christian women too, because the Christian women were converting to Christianity and the men were not. And so the guidance from the first priests, from the apostles, the bishops, was to help convert their husbands by the example they set. And that was challenging. And read 1 Peter, read St. Paul as he talks about this. But also, I think that another perspective, in addition to the love and respect shown to the husband within the home, in the midst of these challenging circumstances, especially the need to set that example for young girls, comes back to beg our Lord and seek out resources where can there be healthy male role models for my daughters? How can I find this exposure that they are not getting so that there can be men in their lives who are affirming them? And don't be afraid to tell those men, can you check on my daughter? Can you make sure you just give her a great big bear hug when you see her, when you affirm her in these simple words? That can go a long ways for young women and even adult women who really do need this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. It's in his heart.
We have another question.
Yeah, it's in his heart. Yes. So we just pray that God will call it out, because it's there. He was made that way to defend and respect and protect. And in fact, I have two teenage boys. Well, they're 21. Sorry, they're adults now. But I tell them that all the time. That's their job, you know, in the world, is to respect and protect women. And so sometimes they need to be told that. Because otherwise, they think their job is to use and take and, you know, whatever. So they do. I think men are kind of simple in a beautiful way, that they are, when they're told what's expected of them, many times they say, oh, I can do that. Yeah. I just needed to hear it. Yeah. Yeah. Not that it's that simple, but, you know.
Amen. We have another question that came in on Instagram talking about fertility treatment. Clomid. Can you speak a little to what Clomid is? Is it a good resource for fertility? And where can people find Napro doctors?
Okay, great. Yes. So Clomid is a way to help boost ovulation. It's a medicine that's given for 5 days, usually at the beginning of a cycle during a woman's period, that helps to make the number of eggs that are released and like increased, or healthier follicles that will turn into released eggs. So it's a medicine that I actually use quite often, but I do recommend that you find a Napro doctor, because the full cycle needs to be treated. It needs to be treated maybe by Clomid, but we really need to support that luteal phase with progesterone to help with healthy implantation. Mm-hmm. And then making sure that the we just can't just give somebody Clomid. I mean, sometimes it works, but sometimes it ends up in a miscarriage. So we need the fuller picture that usually a Napro doctor can provide to follow that woman through the cycle, making sure that all the components of that cycle are healthy, not just that beginning part.
This is such a great example, and I can say, you know, for women who need that boost, need that help getting pregnant, the guidance of a Napro doctor who doesn't just say, here, I'm going to give you Clomid to help you achieve this pregnancy. You want a doctor like Dr. Caldwell and other Napro doctors who are going to see, you need the progesterone support as well. Because in my case, I need that progesterone support all the way through my pregnancy. I could have had a miscarriage if I didn't have it. There were a lot of things that went on. So especially for women who are struggling with infertility. And just a neat moment, kind of miracle moment to share. Our producer, Karen, who also works on the Family Rosary, she had twins, and Clomid was part of what helped her in her journey in order to conceive children. And so this is a great resource, but again, needs to be administered by the right doctors who are experts at dealing with fertility. And Dr. Caldwell is one. We'll post to others on social media. Great questions, Dr. Caldwell. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll post links to find other Napro doctors as well as Dr. Caldwell on the podcast notes. We'll talk to you again soon. Before we wrap up here, I wanted to talk Friday night, and we need to talk about it. There have been a lot of glitter moms coming out right now. And if you don't know what a glitter mom is, you're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. This is something you should probably be aware of. So a glitter mom is someone online who basically grooms young people, especially minors, into an LGBTQ lifestyle. Someone saying they're confused about their sexuality. Well, these people are there watching the chat boxes, watching those blogs, waiting to jump on and affirm someone and making a transition and encouraging them to reject their family. These glitter moms are very pro-radical trans ideology, and they're quite vicious when anyone speaks up, bringing into the conversation science and how faith and science conform with each other with regard to sexuality. So an example of this, because a lot of glitter moms are actually transgender. So there's Rachel McKinnon is one such glitter mom. Rachel is actually a man known as Rise and has recently changed his name to Veronica Ivy because he wants to identify as a woman. I mean, who wouldn't want the name Veronica Ivy? I mean, come on. But this is the example of a glitter mom. He's really a man, and I think it's creepy. He's preying on children and even young adults to transition. This guy studied essentially gender studies in college in Canada and at 29 decided to transition. He's now a professor at South Carolina College. And here's an example of not only him grooming, but a problem with what we're seeing in the trend of President Biden and even other states who are pushing this transgender agenda where so-called women, they're not women, they're actually biological men, can compete against other women, both adults and minors. So this is the perfect example, actually, of this. So I'm just going to go with the original name, Rice McKinnon. He identifies as Veronica Ivy now. He started sport. He's a huge into sports cycling. And basically, because he's transgender and identifies as a woman, he started competing against other women. Well, he's become a dominant so-called female cyclist. And he's winning and beating out other people. That is, women. Why? Well, the truth of the matter is he has a male body. And a man has increased strength, speed, muscle mass, lung and heart capacity, even more red blood cells, just to name a handful of the differences between men and women. And in fact, he set a world speed record in his master's age class. This is scary when we continue to allow people to claim there's something they're not. This is a problem when we now have men competing against women and actually beating them out of college scholarships, a means to pay for college. And we have parents who have risked their livelihood in terms of money in order to help support their kids through various sports in the hope that this will be part of their ticket to college. And we are seeing them beaten out by biological males because of a pro-transgender agenda. And so I really want you to take a pause here and ask ourselves the questions that are so important to prepare us to handle these difficult situations, both personally and publicly, such as do LGBTQ loved ones have the support they need, and have we really talked them and helped them understand why we maybe disagree on the issue and why it's unfair, such as these sports or the fear over grooming young kids? And are we prepared to have difficult conversations with people who won't tell the truth about science and biological reality? Because the reality is that when people who are hungry for truth, who are struggling in their sexuality, and who are looking for affirmation, hear loving guidance and honesty, even if they don't agree with you, it leaves a lasting impact on them that plants a seed for years to come. Enjoy the podcast. I'll talk to you Monday.